Who are the real people we consider our sages? Who were they in life? What is the legacy they left us? Join Rabbi Danny Sackstein for the next hour as he explores the lives of our Torah giants, the spiritual geniuses who shaped the way we approach Judaism today. That's Focus on Our Sages right now on 101.9 Chai FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soul to Soul. Today is a very special day, Erev Yom Kippur, and we all are preparing ourselves both materially and spiritually for the awesome and holy day of Yom HaKippurim. So let's try and talk a little bit about the importance of Yom Kippur and what is happening in the spiritual world and what our role is at this time. And please God, we should all maximize the wonderful opportunity that is upon us. My Rebbe was Rabbi Beryl Wein. He passed away just over a month ago. And when I saw him 2 years ago, when I went to Eretz Israel to visit him, he gave me a book that he had just written on Yom Kippur. And in the introduction of that book, he writes that when he was in yeshiva, he had a Rebbe who was from Lithuania, a very wonderful wise man who had survived the Holocaust and was now teaching them in the yeshiva in Chicago. And he asked the boys in the class, he said, what is the happiest day of the year in the Jewish calendar? And of course, the one boy said Purim, another boy said Simchas Torah. And he said, the happiest day of the year is Yom Kippur. And of course, that is based on the Mishnah at the end of Tanis. The Mishnah says, Lo hayim yovim tovim Israel, Ela Yom Kippurim v'chamisha asar ba'av, that there were no Yom Tovs like Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. And the Mishnah there goes on to explain what Tu B'Av is and why it's so important, but it just leaves Yom Kippur because Yom Kippur is obvious. Why is it obvious? Says the Tosfos Yom Tov, Yom Kippur is obvious because Yom Kippur is the day of Slicha u'Kapara. It's the day of forgiveness and atonement. And there's no greater joy in the world than being forgiven and achieving atonement for our transgressions. That is a tremendous weight lifted off our shoulders. That is a great gift that Hashem gives us to wipe the slate clean on this awesome and holy day. So how does one achieve atonement and receive this great gift that Hashem has given us, which is the source of so much joy for us? So the way it works, the Gemara discusses, is the Gemara says, Itzumo shel yom mechaper im hachuva. So that means that the day itself, going through the day itself, we'll discuss what that means, is mechaper together with tshuva. We can't just go through the day, we also have to do tshuva. So what does all that mean? Going through the day means keeping the day, observing Yom Kippur. What is required to observe Yom Kippur? So we're not allowed to do melacha, right? Anything you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur either. That's melacha. And over and above that, there are the chamesh inuim, the five afflictions of Yom Kippur. And that is no eating and drinking, no anointing with oils or with cosmetics, no makeup, no... You can apply the makeup before, but you can't take it off and you can't do it on the day. No washing for pleasure. So if there's dirt that you want to wash if you can, but you can't wash for pleasure. Bathing, showering, etc. No leather shoes. And finally, no marital relations. So those are the chamesh inuim. So you can't do any melacha, like on Shabbos, no driving, no phones, no electricity, only with time switches, etc. And in over and above all the Shabbos restrictions, there's also these five afflictions, the chamesh inuim, no eating and drinking, no anointing, no washing, no leather shoes, no marital relations. If one does all of that, and then one also does tshuva, so then that process cleanses our bank account in the heavens. It wipes clean all of our stains and all of our transgressions, all of our avaras. Wow, isn't that something? So there's a cosmic cleansing taking place. We have to do our part over here, not do melacha and observe the Chamesh Shinuim, the five afflictions, and do tshuva, and then this massive process takes place up in the heavens, where even though we may have done things that were wrong and that we shouldn't have done and that are going against what God wants us to do in this world, they are wiped clean if we just follow these instructions. Isn't that an amazing deal? Isn't a great offer that Hashem offers us? It really is phenomenal and amazing. So it's important that we all do that. It's important that we don't do malacha and we observe the Chamesh Shinuim and do tshuva. So how do we do tshuva? What is tshuva? Tshuva is, so although the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that it's a mitzvah to do tshuva any day, but it is particularly appropriate and auspicious to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. Tshuva is three parts. Tshuva means repentance. The process of tshuva is that we identify what we did wrong and we verbalize it. That's called vidui. It's a verbal confession, not to any human being, but directly to Hashem. We feel sincere, true remorse for what we've done, for the transgression that we've done. And we take on not to do it anymore. That's a Kabbalah. So let's give a simple example. Let's say somebody ate treif food. They couldn't resist the McDonald's cheeseburger. And they went into McDonald's, God forbid, and had a cheeseburger. So now they realize, oh, that's wrong. Hashem wants me to eat according to the laws of kashrus, according to what God said we are able to eat, according to the foods that don't damage the soul and block up the channels to the higher spiritual worlds. And treif food blocks us up, makes us insensitive, blots out the neshama, drowns out the neshama, and clogs it up that it can't make access and connection to those higher worlds. So what do we have to do then if we're not committing ourselves? We're doing tshuva on eating treif. So we say what we did wrong. I ate that treif food. We're saying I ate the wrong things. I ate something I wasn't allowed to eat according to the laws of God and the Torah. So that's the first one. That's the vidui. And then we feel charota. We feel true remorse for having done that. And it's not in a negative, destructive way that makes us depressed and makes us lose any self-esteem. It's in a healthy way that we recognize what we've done wrong. And we want to repair that. It's very empowering. And we acknowledge, gosh, I gave in to that temptation. And God didn't want me to do that. And I should rise above my lower self and have more self-control and be in line with what God wants of me and follow God's dietary laws, the laws of kashrus, and feel sincerely and true remorse in one's heart for having done that. And then thirdly, there's the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah is that you commit not to do it again, and you put in concrete steps to prevent you from doing it again. So a person who knows they got a weakness for McDonald's will say, okay, no, I'll never step into McDonald's. So that temptation won't be there, and I'll never contact McDonald's. That's the commitment. So it will keep me away from that temptation that I stumbled in before. So, and it's very important on Yom Kippur that we've done the second two steps of Charata and Kabbalah. And the vidui that we say many, many times, we say the vidui through Yom Kippur. That's in all of the Shmoneh Esrei, in all the davening, and in the Chazaras Hashem, the repetition. So we're saying vidui 10 times through Yom Kippur. It's a lot of times, including the mincha that we're going to now. And that purifies us on the 10 different levels and in creation. And it's very important that vidui is not an empty vidui, because an empty vidui means nothing. If you haven't done the other two steps of Charata and Kabbalah, of feeling true remorse and accepting for yourself not to do it again, so then the vidui, the confession, is meaningless. It doesn't do anything. So it's very important that we all do that. Pick two things. Do tshuva on two things now, today, this afternoon, before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur. And then when you say the vidui, those things will come up a lot. And at least you're doing tshuva on the day. As the Rambam says, it's very important everybody fulfills the mitzvahs, aser d'oraisa, the positive moment from the Torah, to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
So we're discussing the awesome Yom Tov of Yom Kippur, which begins this evening. Candle lighting is at 10 to 6, 5:50, and one should bring in the fast and not do any malacha from 6 o'clock. And the fast ends, it comes out tomorrow night at 6:40, at 20 to 7. And Yom Kippur is a great opportunity for all of us to wipe the state clean, as long as we keep the Yom Tov, we don't do Melacha, we keep the Chamesh Yinuim, and we do Tshuva. That's what Hashem expects of us. We do a little bit down here, and then Hashem carries out this cosmic cleansing in which all of our Averas are exorcised and removed from our record in Shemaim, which is an incredible, unbelievable thing. And when that happens, it's a source of great joy for us and great celebration. So we need to understand that that's what's happening and take responsibility for our lives. One of the great problems of modern society, the world we live in, is people are reluctant to accept responsibility. You ask any child if they do something wrong, and they will quickly defer the blame. They'll say, well, it's not my fault, and it's my parents' fault, and it's my siblings' fault, and it's my school's fault. And such is the mindset today. That's the Torah disagrees with that. And the Torah says every individual, no matter how challenging their situation, their circumstances, their upbringing, we all have to take responsibility for ourselves and for our lives. And that excuse of blaming others is actually from time immemorial. Because when Hashem said to Adam Arishon, Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the creation of Adam and Chava, Hashem says to Adam, you can eat any fruit in the garden, their peach trees, their pear trees, they're plum trees. Just don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. And what does Adam do? He eats from the Eitz Hadas. And Hashem says to him, I told you not to eat from the tree. He said, don't blame me. It's not my fault. It's the woman that you gave me. Ha'isha asher nasnali. The woman that you created. She made me do it. Hashem says to Chava, what happened? Chava says, no, it wasn't me. It was the Nachash. The Nachash caused me to do it. And so we all very naturally shift blame. As it says in Koheles, Hashem asa esa Adam yashar, vehema bikshu cheshboinos. We were created straight and honest, but we come up with all rationalizations and excuses, which we shouldn't. The Gemara in Avodah Zorah tells us about Rabbi Loza ben Dordaya. He was a very immoral person, and he visited all the zoinos, all the prostitutes in his town. And he went to visit a famous prostitute in a faraway town. And she said to him, Eloza, you are so far gone that you can't ever do tshuva. And that hit him like a ton of bricks. That really penetrated his heart. And the Gemara says, he called out to Heharim v'Agvaos, to the mountains and the hills and the valleys. And he called out to Shemayim v'Aretz. And what does that mean? He calls out to the mountains of the Shemayim v'Aretz. So the Reishis Rav says a beautiful thing. He says, the Heheim v'Agvaos, the mountain and the hills are his parents. He says, it's not my fault, it's my parents' fault. It was the way I was brought up. He calls out to the heavens and earth. He says, it's my environment, it's my society. And then he comes to the realization that to do tshuva, lo taloi elabi, it depends entirely on me. And he made that realization. And that's a realization that we all need to make in our lives, is to realize that it's up to me and I can't defer the blame and run away from my responsibilities. It's up to me. My life is up to me. My choices are up to me. My behavior is up to me. And I will have to give din v'cheshbon one day for those choices. So that's the first thing, is to, in order to do tshuva, one has to assume responsibility for their own life. The great Chofetz Chaim writes that we can learn a tremendous amount in terms of our spiritual journey in this world from the business world, from the commercial world. So for our business career can teach us much about our spiritual career. He's actually got a list of 40 things. Rav Yisrael Salanter's got a list of 400 things. But let's share, this is a beautiful mashal, parable that Chofetz Chaim brings. I heard it from Rabbi Gladstein, which I think is very powerful. Here, Chofetz Chaim says in Sefer Beis Yisrael, Perek Vav, he says the following. He says, there was once a person who was a trader. He was a merchant. And he went to the large wholesaler in his city, and he said, I need the following merchandise, a big order. And the wholesaler said, listen, my friend, you do not have a very good credit rating. the last number of orders that we've delivered to you, you haven't paid us for. So unless you give us cash on delivery, you ain't going to get no order. And the man says to the wholesaler, he says, I'm so sorry, and you don't know what I've been going through, and my business was having hard times, and I've been very ill, and I was helping my mother-in-law, and you have to help me, because if you don't help me, so I'm going to be destitute, and my business is going to go insolvent, and my children, my poor children, those innocent children, they're all going to suffer because of you. You have to help me. And so the merchant, the wholesaler, he was a good man. He had a soft heart. And he was being swayed by this argument of the merchant. And one of his executives heard the whole conversation and saw that he is being broken down. And he came to me and said, excuse me, sir, you're the CEO of this business. You founded this business. How could you give in to this guy? You've seen how many times he's burnt us. He's got no credibility. You can't give in to him because we'll lose another order and the business can't handle that. These are hard times. And so the CEO, the wholesaler, he says, I'm sorry, my friend, I can't help you. And there was a wise man who had overheard this whole interaction. And he goes to the merchant and he says to the merchant, you know what? He's not going to give you a big order, but why don't you ask him to make an exception? Even though he's a big wholesaler, make a small order. The small money that you've got, use that to buy that order. And then you'll build up slowly, and then you can make a bigger order and a bigger order. And that's how you'll get back on your feet. And so he approaches the wholesaler with this suggestion. The wholesaler relents, and his executive couldn't oppose that because he's going to pay for that order. And so that's how he got back on his feet. And says the Chofetz Chaim, it's the same with us and Hashem. We ask Hashem, Hashem, save me, my health, my parnosa, my family, my situation. And Hashem says, you've made these commitments to me before that you would be loyal and sincere and genuine and change your ways. And I've given you the goods, but you haven't produced on your side, both on a personal level and a national level. We ask for Mashiach, we ask for the redemption, we ask for the end of the suffering of the Galus, and Hashem assists us. And then the next day, we forget we even made any commitment. We forget we've got our side to the bargain. What's our side of the bargain? Is to keep the Torah mitzvahs, to serve Hashem, to fulfill the will of Hashem in this world. And so we go to Hashem, and we say, Hashem, help me. Hashem, you are our rachaman. We sing these beautiful tunes on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We sing Unasane Toikef, and we sing Avinu Malkeinu and Shema Koleinu. And Hashem begins to soften. And the Satan goes to Hashem and says, how could you give in to them? They've made these promises on so many occasions. They've got no credibility. And if you give in, it makes the whole system a mockery. And Hashem says, I'm sorry, my children, I can't help you. And so what is the etzah? What's the advice? What's the wise step? Is take on small things, small increments. Do tshuva on small things that are sustainable. We need to be able to make these small monthly payments. Minimum monthly payments is what we need to focus on. In other words, pick a small thing or two, and that's what we spoke about earlier, doing tshuva on. Do a small thing or two. Become kosher. Follow Hashem's kashrut laws. Become Shomer Shabbos. Keep Shabbos. Wow. It'll change your life. There's no question. In so many ways, it'll change your life. It'll change your relationships at home. The relationships between parents and children will be enriched so much through Shmiras Shabbos. The relationship between husband and wife will be enriched so much through Shmiras Shabbos. Shabbos is the ois. It's the sign. It's the covenant between us and Hashem. And on the outside, it looks like, oh gosh, Shabbos is so limiting. It's like a prison. It's so, you're shackled by all of these restrictions. But the truth is, it's those restrictions that allow your neshama to break free. It's a day of holiness. It's a day that you withdraw from interaction in the physical world, in the world of creativity. And it allows you to focus on the true priorities and values in life. It is the most enriching, magnificent, light-filled experience. So isn't that a wonderful thing to do on Yom Kippur? Commit yourself to Shabbos. Commit yourself to Kashrus. Commit yourself to the laws of Taras HaMishpacha. commit yourself to davening in the minyan a few times a week. Commit yourself to limud ha-Torah, learning the Holy Torah, and two shirim a week. Maybe it's better to learn every day. Your life will be completely different if you learn Torah every day. And so make these small commitments, these minimum monthly payments, and that's the way we earn credibility with Hashem. And once we do those small things and we keep them and they're sustainable, so then we turn our credit rating around. And that's the pathway to redemption on a personal level and redemption on a national level. So that's the first thing, is the minimum monthly payments. That's one approach to tshuva that we should all look at and consider. There's a second lesson we can learn from the business world. So the one is to be consistent and make those minimum monthly payments. The second one is to be able to be a disruptor. That any business that remains with the status quo is going to be left behind. Any business that is still using the same advertising techniques they did 15 years ago is going to be completely outmaneuvered by their competitors. Even 3 years ago, the tremendous pace at which technology advances, we have to be on our toes and moving forward in a flexible way in order to grow and adapt to the realities of the ground. And sometimes, once in a while, you see a disruptor in an industry. An example of a disruptor could be Uber. Look how Uber completely transformed the taxi business. It changed everything forever. Unbelievable concept of Uber. Another good example would be BlackBerry. You know, if you look at Steve Jobs. So BlackBerry, remember the old days, many of our younger listeners won't remember a BlackBerry. But in the old days, there was a BlackBerry, and the BlackBerry had its own keyboard. And they were trying to advance the keyboard and make it the most efficient they could and make it more slick. And Steve Jobs came along and he says, who needs the keyboard? And he came up with the iPhone with a digital keyboard and transformed the whole industry, really turned it on its head. As the saying goes, he turned over the apple cart and he took the apples for himself. Another example of a disruptor is Elon Musk with his Tesla. And he not only transformed the electric vehicle market, but the whole vehicle market was changed through his great creativity and out-the-box thinking. Example number three is Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos at Amazon. So he built Amazon into the largest bookstore in the world. He then built Kindle. And then he made Amazon not only for books, but for everything. And he transformed the ability of the consumer to buy online, to buy anything online. And that's completely changed the world. So once in a while, you have these great geniuses who are able to be disruptors. You know, we see that in the industry, in the soft drink industry, Pepsi and Coke are obviously the largest and most powerful soft drink manufacturers. And whenever somebody comes up with a new product with new ingredients, so they quickly buy them up. But why don't Pepsi and Coke work out the new products themselves? Because they're so vested in their own success and in their own formula that they don't have the creativity and the ingenuity to do it themselves. And so too, let's apply that paradigm to the spiritual world, to spirituality. Very often in spirituality, we also become set in our ways and we don't think out the box and we don't adapt and grow as we are supposed to. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch said that the first mitzvah that was done in the Beis HaMikdash was what's called Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen was when they took the ashes from that were used in the Beis HaMikdash in the temple, the ashes that had remained from the korbanos, from the sacrifices from the day before. And the first activity, the first act of service in the temple in the morning was the Kohanim would go and they would remove those ashes. It's called the Trumas Hadeshen. And Rav Hirsch explains, he says, it's not with a smug and self-satisfied arrogance that we approach serving Hashem, but rather it's with a humility that every day is a new day. And we can't stand on our laurels based on past achievements, but we have to move forward and face the reality. We have to become innovators. We have to become pioneers. We have to become trailblazers. We have to be visionaries and disruptors in our spiritual world, in the spiritual way we see things. As the Bale Musa said, if today isn't better than yesterday, then why do you need tomorrow? And so we need to apply this thought process also to our spiritual perspective, our spiritual journey in the world. And we're going to take a short ad break. When we come back, we'll discuss exactly how to do that. How do you become a disruptor in your spiritual journey?
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
We're discussing Yom Kippur and our approaches to tshuva. The one approach to us doing tshuva, returning to Hashem, needs to be stable and solid, and we need to make our minimum monthly payments to Hashem in a realistic and achievable way. The other approach to tshuva that we learned from the commercial world is we need to be a disruptor as well. We need to think in creative ways. We need to be a pioneer and a trailblazer in terms of our spiritual journey. The Chovas HaLevavos says a very fascinating thing. He says that a human being, of course, was created. Why were we sent into this world? What's the purpose of creation? We are here in order to develop ourselves and become more noble human beings. And Hashem created us with two parts to our being. We have the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. We have the good inclination and the negative inclination. And the journey of life is that constant struggle between our higher self and our lower self, between body and soul, between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. And Hashem did it for our benefit, because if we learn self-control and we learn to suppress the Yetzer Hara and we learn to allow the soul to have a voice and to lead us, when the horse leads the rider, the rider leads the horse instead of the horse leading the rider, so then we've achieved that ourselves and we'll get rewarded for eternity for those efforts. And that's all for our benefit. That's why Hashem created the world, to bestow his ultimate goodness upon us. However, says the Chovas HaLevavos, the Yetzer Hara is much more powerful than the Yetzer Tov. Our negative inclination is much stronger than our positive inclination. It's like the negative inclination is the spring box and the positive inclination is the school rugby team. Imagine the school rugby team, school first rugby team, high school, against the Springboks. Well, I think they'll be completely slaughtered and overrun, right? That's us. That's our Yetzer Tov against the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Tov is the school rugby team, and the Yetzer Hara is the Springboks. So how can we possibly overcome it? How do we do it? Says the Chovas HaLevavos that we have a secret weapon. We have a nuclear weapon that will not only enable us to face and defend ourselves, but actually defeat the Yetzer Hara. What is that? That is what we call Siyata Dishmaya. That is assistance from above. That is Hashem helping us. So we are certainly outgunned on our own, but when we turn to Hashem and when we bring Hashem in, we make Hashem a part of that battle and that struggle, so then we have the ability to defeat the Yetzer Hara. Isn't that an unbelievable piece of information and intelligence that will help us tremendously? And so we shouldn't sell ourselves short, and we should use the weapons at our disposal. And the most important one is to look to Hashem. And so when we're diving, this is this disruptor. This is being a disruptor in our spiritual journey. When we dive into Hashem, don't dive in just for your immediate material needs. Hashem, help me with my health. Hashem, help me with parnasa. Hashem, help me with my family. Dive in for spiritual things. That's the disruptive thing to do in the spiritual journey. Dive in for siyata d'shmaya, heavenly assistance, in fighting the Yetzer Hara. Dive in for heavenly assistance in connecting to spirituality, connecting to God. Dive in for heavenly assistance in doing mitzvahs properly, in keeping kashrus, in keeping Shabbos, in not speaking Lashon Hara, in learning Torah, in davening, in being tzanua, in keeping the laws of Taras HaMishpacha. Hashem, help me defeat the Yetzer Hara. Help me remove the hatred from my heart. We're not allowed to hate another Jew. Don't Don't hate another. Hashem, help me fill my heart with love and with understanding and with compassion and with empathy and not with anger and resentment. So all of these things, the way to do them successfully is to ask Hashem. And then we are a disruptor in our spiritual world as well. Isn't that a brilliant piece of advice from the Chovas HaLevavos? And such a beautiful way that we can actually make ourselves a success and our lives a success. And so it's so important that we take the incredible opportunity of Yom Kippur and we realize that we're responsible for our lives. We can't blame anybody. That we should take the small, sustainable changes and make our minimum monthly payments to Hashem. That's the first thing we do tshuva on. And then to think out the box and be creative and adapt as we each day in a unique way and be a spiritual disruptor in our spiritual journey. And the key to that is asking Hashem every day for Siyata Shemaya to defeat the Yetzer Hara. So that is a beautiful pathway that we can follow in order to make the most of Yom Kippur and to use the power that the day has. That's just a day of unbelievable opportunity and potential and power. And if we do that, so then we are on the right path. Then we are cleansing ourselves every year from our many transgressions, and we have a chance then to fulfill our purpose and our mission in this world. I think let's end off with one last idea, and that is the closing of Yom Kippur. The closing of Yom Kippur is what we call Ne'ilah. So usually we daven three Shmona Esrays
every day,
Ma'ariv, Shacharis, and Mincha. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we add an extra Shmona Esrei called Musaf. And on Yom Kippur, we add another one, a fifth Shmona Esrei, which is called Ne'ilah. And Ne'ilah is after Mincha, before the end of the fast. Ne'ilah means Na'ul, is to lock and to close. It represents the end, the closing, the final moments. Really, it's the last hour of Yom Kippur. And Ne'ilah is very beautiful and very powerful. And we're going to take a short break now. When we come back, I'll discuss with you some beautiful understandings of Ne'ilah.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
Let's close our show with the closing of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur ends with the Ne'ilah service, the last hour or so of Yom Kippur, the fifth Amidah, the fifth Shmoneh Esrei that we daven on Yom Kippur. And in the Ne'ilah service, we've been making additions for our Sirus Yemei Teshuva and saying, Kasveinu, Hashem, write us in the book of life, in the book of success and blessing. On the Ne'ilah, we change it from Kasveinu to Chasmeinu. So let me read to you what the great Chofetz Chaim writes in the Mishnah Berurah about Ne'ilah. He says, why do we change it to Chasmeinu v'nechtam? Ki b'Ne'ilah hu chasima hagzar din shenichtav Rosh Hashanah al b'nei Adam l'tov l'ra. Because Ne'ilah is the conclusion, the sealing of the verdict of every human being, which was written on Rosh Hashanah and now is concluded and sealed at Ne'ilah, whether it's for good or for bad. V'yizdarez me'od b'tfilazut. Chofetz Chaim says we should be very careful with this tefillah and we should apply ourselves to the best of our ability. Ki tachlis kol ha'aseres yemei tshuva hu yom ha'kippurim. The purpose and the pinnacle of the 10 days of repentance is Yom Kippur. V'tachlis kol ha'kippurim hu tefillas Ne'ilah. And the purpose and the pinnacle of Yom Kippur is Ne'ilah. Why? Shakol cholech achar hachitum. Because everything goes after the sealing. In other words, the way it's sealed, the way it ends, everything that's come before follows that. Ve'im lo achshav emasai. If we don't do it now at Ne'ilah, when are we going to do it? Says the Chofetz Chaim. V'dachein af im chalashu machmas satanis. Even if tomorrow afternoon, we are very tired and weak from the fast. Mikom akom yezor kagibur chalatzav. a person should strengthen themselves to their best ability, like a warrior. They'd palel b'machshava zakal bura, to daven with a clear focus and intention. Ulakabel al atzmo gidrei hatshuva be'emes, and to accept upon him or herself the returning to Hashem in truth. So a person who comes to purify themselves gets heavenly assistance, gets Yat Deshmaya. If we do that with sincerity and in a genuine way, so Hashem sees that we're trying to improve, we're trying to grow, we're trying to do the best we can, Hashem will assist us. And Hashem will write us in a safe and a book of good life, which is what we all want, which is what we all need, which is what we all so desperately request. So the Chofetz Chaim gives us a bracha. If we apply ourselves to Ne'ilah, if we gather our strength and daven with clarity and with commitment and with sincerity, so that's the key. That's the pathway to a good year. And the train arrives at the station and the whistle goes on Rosh Hashanah to invite all the passengers to embark upon the train. It's the train of Hashem. It's the train of spirituality. It's the train of truth. It's the train of holiness. And now with Yom Kippur, we look and we say, well, maybe I should have done more. Maybe I should have made a greater effort to get on the train. And throughout Yom Kippur, perhaps we think the same thing. But when the Ilah comes, we should have the visualization that the train's about to leave. We have one last chance. We need to run to that platform and leap onto the train, and the conductor will reach his hand out and pull us onto the train. The conductor is Hashem, and at Ne'ilah we have the capacity to still get onto that train. And once, if we get onto that train, says the Kotzke Rebbe, that Ne'ilah means the doors are locked. We locked on the inside. If we locked on the inside, we connected to Hashem, and that's the source of all blessing and of all good. And if we do that, please God, we and our families and all the Jewish people will be zeiche, will be blessed with a shana tova umesuka. Thank you so much for listening. Wishing everybody a gemar chasima tova.